Backseat Box Office, episode number 74, for the weekend of January 17th through the 19th, 2012. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
We are the Backseat Producers. You're listening to Backseat Box Office. Woot.
Thanks.
What's going on?
We do a terrible job of transitioning from that. You know that?
It's a setup. Come on. How can you not transition from that?
You would think that the longer we do this podcast, the better we would be at figuring that out. But I think we actually get worse at it every week.
No, the goal is
complex about it.
The goal is to have it right by episode 75. We have another week. We're still good.
I think the key is to not take a breath, Tony. You say, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, and then you got to immediately, without taking a breath, say something else to move on the conversation.
Oh, so it's my fault?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not solely. I mean, I could have given you this advice weeks ago. I blame myself.
I still blame Tony.
That's fine.
I do too, but I was just going to say, you know, just trying to be nice.
I blame Jonathan for not ever editing.
That's fair.
That's fair.
Two drinks.
So we had another eventful week, and you know, I know usually we do the whole thing. I read the box office. Screw that. Tony, how you feeling about your number one pick?
You know what? I picked the number one movie for the one movie that I saw this week. So there.
Hey,
I did,
you know
my
what?
Part. I did my part for, you know, my what? Pick. Did you see the movie you picked at number one?
No, I saw the movie you picked at number one with my son.
Well, thank you. Thank you for trying.
You know, my son has never seen Star Wars. We mentioned that last week.
Yeah.
So this is his first exposure to anything Star Wars. And he's six. He loved it.
Oh, yeah. Of course he did. I bet he was giggling like a maniac with Jar Jar, too.
He was okay with Jar Jar, but he loved Darth Maul.
Oh,
he thought, yeah, Darth Maul is the best thing since sliced bread.
Yep. And he could slice it with either end of his lightsaber.
Right up to the point where Darth Maul became sliced bread.
Yes.
It was great. He loved it. I may have dozed off for 20 minutes, but I'm telling you, the eye strain on the 3D movies is harsh, and there was nowhere showing it locally 2D. But the best part was we walked out of the theater, and he said, "Dad, I can't wait until next year when we can see the next one." And I looked at him like,
"We don't have to wait.
We have all six on DVD, right? We could watch them. Not today.
Yeah,
but we could probably watch the next one next weekend." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah."
So here's a question. Episode 3 comes out in 2 years. Your son will be 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Will you take him to see it?
Yeah, probably.
You think he can handle the darkness?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he handled, you know, I kind of was watching out of the corner of my eye when Darth Maul gets sliced in half and when Qui-Gon gets stabbed to death, and he was fine.
Yeah, Qui-Gon dying and then Darth Maul getting sliced in half. I mean, as much as people say that, as much as episode 3 gets crap for being so dark, to watch Qui-Gon go down kind of unexpectedly in episode 1, that was a bit shocking. If you didn't know it was coming.
That was my biggest complaint. My second biggest complaint was the fact that my two favorite characters in episode 1 both died at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, it was it seemed wasteful that those two characters died as quickly as they did.
It was incredibly wasteful for having three movies available to them. They didn't need to wrap up every loose end that they introduced at the start of the film.
Especially, you know, as visually cool as Darth Maul is. And then they just go and introduce Count Dooku. And it's like, oh, Christopher Lee, great. We get an ancient Sith Jedi person instead of the really cool double-bladed Darth Maul kick-ass Ray Park, you know, being a crazy ninja Jedi. No, we're just going to kill him by cutting him in half right at the get-go.
I mean,
but even then with Dooku, it's like, so then we killed Dooku in essentially one movie. I mean, he survives to be killed immediately at the start of the next.
Right.
And then we get Grievous, who is in one movie. It's like you never have... That was my biggest problem. Like, give us one enemy that, you know... And why does Qui-Gon have to die immediately so that Anakin... I mean, like, it seems like it would make more sense for the two of them to, like, train side by side under Qui-Gon, you know, to give them that sort of friendship, and then they part ways, you know, say Qui-Gon's death causes them to part ways or something.
I could actually see killing Qui-Gon and then let Obi-Wan stew a little bit about it and know that Darth Maul was the one that killed his master and not have him immediately go and kick his ass.
Yep.
That would be, because it's not fair. It's not fair that we live in a world where Darth Maul dies, but Watto walks free.
Jar Jar.
I mean, Qui-Gon dies and Jar Jar is a general?
Yeah.
God, what's wrong with this world?
Now, to be fair, Watto is pretty cool, so I was cool with Watto being around.
No.
But Jar Jar.
He was an inveterate gambler and liar. He is not cool.
Yeah, and depending on how you look at episode 4, Han Solo is either a murderer or George Lucas cheated us out of Han Solo being a cold-blooded murderer.
Han may be a murderer, but did you see that charming smile and that full head of hair he's got? The guy's just
true.
Damn charming. Who wouldn't want a podcast with that guy? He's damn good looking.
You're an ass.
So, all right, back to format. Here's how everything did last weekend. The Vow debuted at number one with 41.2 million. I wasn't expecting it to be that high, but God bless it. The Safe House opened at number two with 40.1 million, just a touch behind.
Man, that was close. That was ridiculously close.
1.1 million.
And Safe House actually won Sunday.
Did it?
Yeah. Yeah, it won the day on Sunday.
And then Journey 2, which we did not go see this weekend, came in at number 3 with 27.3 million. At number 4, the aforementioned Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace in 3D, brought in 22.4 million. And then at number 5, we had Chronicle with 12 million even.
Yep.
So, Jonathan, I believe you did best. Tell us about it.
Well, let's see. I would like to say that I got... And really, all of us got four of these in the right order, just not necessarily in the right place.
Yep.
That's, you know, accentuate the positive, especially before we get to Tony.
Yeah. I underestimated one film. Everything else was spot on.
You overestimated one film by a lot.
Well. Yeah.
Anyway.
I underestimated three films and overestimated one.
I put The Vow at number one, Safe House at number two, and those were both correct. I also got Chronicle at number five correct, and then I only flip-flopped Journey and Star Wars. So that left me with a 23 for the week.
I came in second, I believe, with a 21, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
I don't actually have it in front of me.
That's true. You got a 21.
Okay. I had The Vow at number one. That was spot on. I overestimated Star Wars a little bit myself. I put it at number two. Not as bad as Tony, though. those double points for the number one pick really kind of just get you in the kidneys, don't they?
Yep.
So that cost me two. I put Safe House at three. That was off one. I put Journey 2 at four. That was one off. I put Chronicle at five. That was spot on, leaving me with 21. Tony, lay it on us.
Hey, I got Chronicle in the right place.
Booyah.
Booyah. Start with the positives. My score was 2 to the 4th power. I had Star Wars in first place, The Vow in second, Safe House in third, Journey 2 in fourth. I was only one off on The Vow and Safe House and Journey 2. And a little more than that in Star Wars.
Well, you know, it wasn't that you were that far off on Star Wars. It was the double points that really whooped you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was three off, and it was double points, plus everything in between. I had in the right order, so that was all shifted by one. So, yeah, I lost 9 points on essentially one bad pick. I lost 9 points.
Yeah. My total score ended up with, you know, I only had 4.58 squared.
Hey,
but
you know what? In the world, in my head, Star Wars beat the Vow, and that made me happy. And I'm going to live in that world inside my head for the rest of this episode.
Now, what did Holden think? To help fuel this fantasy of yours, what did Holden think about seeing it on the big screen?
Oh, he loved it. He absolutely loved it. Now, he's seen it before.
Right.
But yeah, he loved seeing it on the big screen. He loved the 3D. And we were in agreement that the 3D that's a little more subtle is cooler, that it's not all jump out at your face. There was only one or two scenes where the 3D was a little more gimmicky, and it was really the one that sticks out in my head is the ending where there's the big parade scene and there's confetti flying all over the place and the confetti is kind of out in front of you. But pretty much every scene had 3D in it. There wasn't a whole lot of scenes that didn't have 3D. I took off my glasses a few times, and I mean, it was obvious that they were 3D scenes.
I really enjoyed it during the pod racing. It, you know, they didn't overdo it.
That was cool.
It felt like it was coming at you, but it was enough that it actually made it pretty nice.
Yeah, the pod racing scene and that sequence was pretty spectacular when
in 2D.
Yeah, it was a great sequence in 2D. And for that sequence alone, the movie's kind of worth seeing. You know, it's a great sequence, and the 3D of it was really well done. It wasn't overt. It wasn't like you saw pods coming out of the screen at you, anything ridiculous right. like that. It was just it just gave depth to focusing on the pod you were supposed to be watching. You know, everything right. else kind of just fell a little farther into the background. And that was nice. I thought it was cool that way.
And I guess, hey, I may be just some goofy old man, but every time I watch Phantom Menace and they hit that point where they talk about the Tusken Raiders camped out on the far dune turn, I just cheer a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and when they're up there shooting and then they do their little Tusken cheer.
Yeah, that's horrible.
It's terrible and wonderful. Yeah.
Because, you know, when I first sat down to watch Phantom Menace, it had been so long, so to see them work the Tusken Raiders in was just great.
Watching it this time, like, the whole midichlorians thing was kind of jarring the first time you see the movie. And now it's like, you know, it's there, so
But it's still dumb.
You know,
still dumb.
At that point, I just didn't care.
I don't really
care. It's the way it is. It's like, okay, you know, there's no more stigma to it because it's not a surprise. It's just let's get to it and move on. It's part of the story. Great. You needed it to be that way because of the prophecy that no one knew about until you told us there was a prophecy about it.
It doesn't take away my enjoyment of the movie at all now.
It ruins my childhood.
But it's still dumb.
Stop it.
It's still a dumb
idea. My childhood is ruined.
My childhood has been raped. That's
shat upon.
Stupid.
David, come on.
Yeah, that is one of the stupidest arguments I think I've seen.
I can no longer have pleasant memories from my childhood because George Lucas did something bad.
To the movies that he owns.
Show us where George Lucas touched the movie on this doll. No, the thing that does take away my enjoyment still of this movie, not a lot. I still enjoy it. I watch it at home every now and then.
Yeah.
But I wish they hadn't gone this route. He has no father. Come on!
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty horrid.
That is virgin birth. Come on, seriously. Seriously?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
No, that was bad. That was bad.
No, to me, still, the worst thing in this movie, it's not the midichlorians, It's not even Jar Jar. It's when Jake Lloyd says, "Yippee!"
Yeah, that is pretty bad.
What? I'm sorry. It just doesn't, it doesn't fit. This kid has been raised as a slave. He works at the age that he is, and that's going to be his reaction?
I also dislike the, "Let's try spinning. That's a good trick."
That's a good trick.
Wait, what?
Well, I mean, I actually can see Holden doing that. <It's>, hey, I'm in a spaceship.
In the middle of a giant space battle.
I'm in a spaceship. I'm just going to spin now. Maybe they won't notice me. Yeah, the worst thing in this movie is Jake Lloyd. The child actor was not chosen well for this movie. Slaves right, can be well adjusted.
This is not the Star Wars podcast, though.
No. No.
Well,
That was episode one of Fanboy Smackdown.
I mean, we could add backseat Star Wars to the stable.
No. Let's move on.
So this week, we have three new movies coming out.
We do. We've got The Borrowers.
What are you looking at?
That Arity movie? That's The Borrowers.
That's The Borrowers.
That's okay. The Borrowers.
Okay, I got you now.
Yeah. It's.
I was looking for a movie called The Borrowers. No, I was like, I don't see that.
It's not called The Borrowers, but it's The Borrowers.
It's The Borrowers.
It's based on the book The Borrowers, which was also made into an animated film. Or no, wait, that wasn't animated, was it?
Was it live action? No.
I thought it was. It's not.
This is a Studio Ghibli film, though.
This one's Studio Ghibli, but Disney did one. Was it Disney? I am so well prepared for this.
We are not. For those who are in the chat room, they know we spent our prep time tonight talking about other things. Important things, to be sure. But I'd like to point out this movie has already brought in $126.3 million in the foreign market.
Well, it's a Studio Ghibli film.
Yeah. I'm going to say yeah, like I know what that means, and just nod.
Princess Mononoke, Spirited Away.
Okay.
Howl's Moving Castle.
Okay. Castle. I'm there now. Got it.
Ponyo.
Mm-hmm.
I vaguely remember that one.
It's not a very good film, but it fascinated my nephew.
Which one?
Ponyo.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, he's
it's and Ponyo is the Little Mermaid,
and it just grabbed his attention. It was like glued his eyes to the screen.
Aaron loved it.
It's not a good film though. Like it's very pretty, and the animation is very good. But like the story is just what is going on here?
Gimli has his own studio. Thank you, Tim.
No, the best is the follow-up. The budget must be small.
Yeah, it's only in 1,500 theaters, which is probably more than it needs.
It's only trading at $15 a share at HSX.
Yeah. This one, I'm... spoiler, I'm not even putting it in my top five.
That seems safe. What did Howl's Moving Castle bring its first weekend?
That is a great question.
Thank you.
That makes the assumption that it opened over here.
Howl's Moving Castle opened over. I mean, Ponyo at did. Some point it had a domestic opening weekend.
427,000.
Yeah, let's not put that in our top five.
But the thing is Howl's Moving Castle opened 6 years ago. I don't know that.
And Ponyo's
Studio Ghibli was as well known back then.
Ponyo.
I don't know if they're that well known then now, but
that's the thing. I think they're about as well known.
Yeah, so Ponyo opened 2.5 years ago in only 927 theaters, and its opening was $3.5 million. It grossed 15 total. Now, foreign plus domestic was $200 million. It made more than Watchmen. but its foreign box office was more than the Watchmen took in total.
Well, 186 I mean, like million. Like we see... I mean, the Secret World of Arity's already brought in a ton of money worldwide.
Sure.
So, yeah. It's going to do well. It's like a Mr. Bean movie. Worldwide, it's going to do very well. In our country, probably not so much. It's probably going to be a bit anemic.
Well, it's more of a, like, people who know what they're talking about know that Miyazaki makes good films.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But whether or not that's going to translate to actual decent box office over here. Because I think the DVDs sell really well.
They do. And I think that's where most of the box office, or not box office, but most of the profits in the U.S.
are going to be made. American money comes from.
Yeah, most of the American money is going to come from DVD sales, which Studio Ghibli is distributed by Disney. So Disney knows how to distribute movies. They tend to do that well. So
yeah.
So that's I don't think that's going to have its problem. And it's entirely possible that the Disney could have a ton of tie-ins with this when it comes out, you know, for the home market.
Well, our next new release this weekend is called This Means War from being distributed by Fox. It's releasing in 3,189 theaters, starring Reese Witherspoon, Chris Pine, Tom Hardy. It's directed by my boy, Mick G. It's basically two covert agents who develop a love triangle around Reese Witherspoon and destroy their friendship, trying to top each other to win her over and win her, you know, undying love, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So the concept, when I saw the concept of this movie, I was like, this is going to be great. This is a solid concept for a rom-com. Because, I mean, it's just jackass enough that guys, you know, I think guys can enjoy it. And then I saw that Reese Witherspoon was in it. And that immediately turned me off. Then I saw that Chelsea Handler was in it. And that turned me off 10 times more. So I've actually refused. Julie's like, I want to go see that. Well, you have fun finding somebody to take you. Because I am not going.
I want to know who you hate more. Do you hate Reese Witherspoon more, or do you hate the horse face lady more?
Which horse face lady? Chelsea Handler?
Or
Julia Roberts?
Julia Roberts.
Ooh, that's tough. I think still Julia Roberts, just because what she did to Tinkerbell.
Show us on the doll what she did to Tinkerbell.
Did you not see the movie Hook?
No.
Oh. Hook was a great movie, except for Julia Roberts as Tinkerbell. That was terrible.
That's fair. I've never seen it, so I can't really argue with you one way or the other. Oh, hold on.
Yeah, so... Oh. She, like, she's just a terrible person. And the things that she did... There's like, all kinds of stories about things that she did and said about the people she worked with on Hook. And then she came out later and said she was going through a really rough time. So you can't really take anything she said. You take everything she said with a grain of salt. Not that she apologized for it, but just, I have an excuse for being a bitch. Yeah.
So are you using her bad behavior to justify how you feel about her?
Yes. I am. Huh. She is a terrible person. Therefore, I don't like her because she is a terrible person.
She's a terrible person because she said bad things about people. So I'm going to say bad things about her.
Hey, you know what?
Hold on.
I'm doing this for a living.
She is a public personality.
I'm not.
She brought it upon herself.
Come on. I think you have a fairly good awareness of what our download numbers are. Come on, let's do some comparative analysis here. I am not a public persona.
Oh no! But you see, the thing is that if you look at the total,
I could publish something in my local high school's newspaper and have more people see it than people listen to any one single episode of this podcast.
See, it's not the number of people who listen to one podcast. It's the number of people who listen to the 938 episodes of the podcast.
Well, that's true.
It's cumulative.
Now that we're quickly approaching 500 episodes of Backseat Stuff plus Tony's Losing It.
It's a lot, man.
Yeah, it's getting pretty ridiculous.
So, speaking of ridiculous, Nick Cage is back with Ghost Rider 2. Booyah!
Hey, you know what? I enjoyed the first one. I saw it in theaters, and I will probably see this one in theaters.
I agree with you on those first two points. I'm not positive I'm going to see the second one in the theater, but I saw the first one in the theater. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed him drinking jelly beans out of martini glasses. I may have done that for a while at my own house. But no, I thought the first one was great. I like Nick Cage. I'm
it's
not a hater.
It's a fun movie.
It is a fun movie.
Don't, I mean,
I'm not so sure about the second one.
You know what? When, because I actually read some Ghost Rider in the 90s, and I actually have some old 70s Ghost Rider stuff.
So wait, hold on. So the 90s Ghost Rider, was that Danny Ketch Ghost Rider?
Yeah, so...
Fuck yeah. Danny, yes. That was an awesome series.
Do you know, like, part of this story is that... in I saw it in one of the trailers, he calls that boy Danny, and...
Yeah, but...
No. And then they're like, you need to do something to save this boy's soul. I went and looked at the credits, and the boy in the credits is Dan Ketch. That's Danny Ketch.
Different. They're using the name, but that's different from the origin story they rolled out in the 90s.
It is, but they're at least acknowledging that character. And just sure. The fact that they're acknowledging it, that was awesome to me.
That was when I liked Johnny Blaze the most, is when he was not Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
He was following around Danny Ketch, Ghost Rider, with his Hellfire shotgun, and Johnny Blaze was actually cool to me for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But Jonathan, what do you think about this?
Shockingly, I haven't seen Ghost Rider, and I probably won't see Ghost Rider 2.
Now, is that because you're not in for the character? Is that the actor? What motivates your disinterest?
I won't see the current movie because I don't have any money.
Fair.
That's fair. And
I just never picked up the old movie, so.
Next time I see you, I will bring you the old movie. It's a fun little one. I mean, you can get it pretty cheap on DVD. It's a fun, especially if you have a nice, you know, a surround sound on your stereo. It's around your TV. It's nice.
I don't know, man. I've got Sons of Anarchy to finish up, so
which I haven't started yet. But can I just say,
hey, more that, motorcycles, that since, more being a badass on a motorcycle. It all fits.
Can I just say that since we discussed Sons of Anarchy on this episode on this show, mm-hmm. I have had people coming out of the woodwork to tell me I need to watch it. Tim left the chat room. Tim's telling me. Rich is telling me.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, and it just like. I have two episodes left in the fourth season. And holy hell.
The fourth season is the most recent one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea how they're going to end the season because
I told you
everything has fallen apart and apparently it falls apart more.
Yes.
So
yeah, you've got one more episode of things falling apart in completely epic ways. And then 15 minutes into the last episode, I guarantee your mind will be blown. Guarantee.
I mean, Sam must be a big fan because his reply back after he listened to that episode to me, his tweet to me was in all caps, and there's profanity about what he would do to me if I did not go and watch it immediately. So that's I've moved it up on my queue. It's not quite the top because I'm in the middle of a couple of things, but it's now close to the top of my Netflix queue. It's simmering.
Yeah. So there's a point like with a lot of good TV series, you get to a key point in the series where it's like if you don't enjoy this thing by the time you get to this point, just kind of give it up because you're not going to be in for it. It's like in Clerks. Wait till you get to 37. If you accept the movie and if you enjoy the number 37 in Clerks, you'll be in for the rest of the ride and you're going to enjoy the hell out of it. If you're like in Galactica, if you can buy the mini, if you make it through the mini series and then 33 and Water, the first two episodes, mm-hmm. you're in for the rest of the series. If you
33,
make it,
by the way, just 33 is fantastic.
33 love is 33. Amazing. If you make it to Blade or Flame, when you get to that scene where the offer is made, Blade or Flame, if you can finish watching the episode, and there's only about 3 minutes left of the episode at that point, you're going to just thoroughly enjoy the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the point where it's like, that scene separates... it's okay from, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah, and the thing about it, like, you need to know that it's based loosely on Hamlet. So It's a tragedy.
Especially the first season.
Well, what I love about it is that the characters are based on Hamlet.
Yes.
Like, you very clearly have the characters from Hamlet. Like, each of the characters in the show can very clearly be linked to, well, most of them anyway, can very clearly be linked to characters from Hamlet. But then they toss out the plot. Like, the plot of Hamlet is not part of it at all. You have the background, you know, like the like everything that has led up to the start of Hamlet is the everything that has led up to the start of Sons of Anarchy. But then you just have, instead of trying to stick to the plot of Hamlet, you let the characters go where they're going to go, and they let the, you know, the nature of a motorcycle club instead of Danish royalty, you know, take over, and it's informed it in a way that it's still very clearly like these are the same characters that. You know, they haven't stopped being their Shakespearean characters, but they've gone in completely different directions, you know? So it's really clever how they do it, and it's like that is a great way to take that kind of
source
material.
It's kinda like imagining if you had to take Hamlet and turn it into a multi-season television series, that there would necessarily have to be parts in it where Hamlet and his uncle and, you know, there would be a different vibe and a different relationship between all the characters.
Well, there doesn't necessarily have to be, but just the fact that they've taken those characters and then put them in a new situation. And what I'm impressed by is that they've let the nature of the characters and the nature of the environment shape the story, as opposed to some sort of stringent need to be like, well, and at this point he gets sent away and, you know, kills his friends and comes back, and, you know, now we have to have a play so that we prove what, you know, they don't stick strictly to those plot points. You know, they let the world go, but it's still very much following that same sort of thing. So it's really cool the way they've done that. I really like that.
Yeah,
well, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Good, you should now, be.
Is Blade and Flame relatively early in season one?
I haven't seen it.
It was the first episode.
I don't think it was the first. It was pretty early, though, if I remember right. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's like I said, it's been a while since I've seen those episodes because I watched them as they aired. So and they just wrapped the fourth season.
Hipster what, huh?
Hey, just because I watch good TV doesn't mean that I'm a hipster.
No, that's not what it means. That does not make you a hipster at all. You're right. So, Jonathan,
I'm just lucky enough to find good television as it airs. Actually, it's true. It's making a point of watching things on FX and
FX does make some damn fine shows.
And you've seen that they've got the pilot for Powers.
I had not seen that.
Yeah,
yet.
That Jason Patrick, me. Jason Patrick playing the lead character. Yeah.
Do we have any type of air date yet?
I believe if they pick it up, it will begin in June. Yeah.
That's now I'm thinking about that, and I'm not gonna be able to focus on movies. But I don't have to focus on movies because Jonathan, you did best last week.
This is true.
Lay it out there, big guy.
All right. I could claim that I have some sort of theory or excuse for why.
You could.
I'm not going to bother because I don't actually have one. So here we go. Number one, Ghost Rider. Number two, Safe House. Number three, The Vow. Number four, This Means War. And number five, Journey. Two, The Center of the Earth.
Wow.
So you think Ghost Rider 2 is going to top 30 million, probably?
Probably. The first one opened at 45, same time of year.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people who vocally hate the first one.
There are a lot of people who went to see The Season of the Witch.
How many people? There were not that many people.
There were more people than any of us thought.
That's possibly true. I can't remember. I know it went the opposite direction of where we put it. I don't remember any more than that anymore.
It had a $10 million opening.
Season of the Witch did?
Season of the Witch did.
So we probably picked it higher then, because I'm guessing it did not open high then.
To be fair, Halloween 3 Season of the Witch had a $6 million opening, and that was in 1982.
Well,
Nick Cage is weird though. Like, he will either pull tons of money or none. But I think in movies like this, he tends to pull tons of money as opposed to none. So,
well, I'm gonna agree with you on my number one pick. Not because I feel good about it, but because I do like the second one. I do like the first Ghost Rider movie. It annoys me how much people like to hate on it. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and throw Ghost Rider 2 at number one. I'm going to put The Vow at number two. At number three, I'll put Safe House, because they are only 1.1 million apart from each other. So where they end up, I bet they're going to be close.
Yeah.
You know, Journey had a $27 million weekend. This means War's opening in 3,189 theaters. Or I could just go crazy and put The Secret World of Arity at number five. No, I'm not going to do that. No, that
would be kind of crazy.
That would be too far.
That'd be like somebody putting Star Wars at number one last week.
Now, to be fair, at the time, we did not think it was that crazy. Because you went with number one, I put it at number two, and John put it at number three. Yeah. None of us thought necessarily that was such a crazy idea.
I got burned worse by it.
Yeah. So I'm going to stick with Jonathan on this one. I'm going to put This Means War at number four and Journey 2 at number five. So basically the exact same as Jonathan, except I'm flip-flopping two and three.
All right.
That's cool. Gives me another week to catching up another couple of points up on.
Yeah, because...
Shouldn't I be on top now?
You are, because you guys were 1 point different, and Jonathan got two more points than Andrew this week. So they flip-flopped.
Legitimately on top this time. That's right.
That's right. By a
the
point.
Rise has begun. And I'm not talking about my pants.
Well, you were talking about being on top of him, so it
I
was
might
unclear.
Be talking about my pants.
Why can't it be both?
I'm not denying either.
All right. So...
Well, I'll be curious. No, wait. Well, I'm just going to be curious to see, because now that you've called this the beginning of your rise, so.
I think I called last time the beginning of my rise, too.
I'll be curious to see how you turn out next week.
What this really is just Tony needs to put another really crappy movie in number one, and it needs to be the, you know, start of Tony's fall, and then that'll, you know,
well,
on top of the hosts.
Unfortunately, yeah,
that's
for
Jonathan. The quick way to jump ahead is for one of the hosts in front of you to just, you know,
tank.
Yeah, I say, you know, just collapse from heat exhaustion and be carried off the field.
Yeah, have the host in front of you have a 16 week when you have a 23 week.
Yeah.
That's a way to do it.
Somehow unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen again this next week, though.
I hope not. Weird things would have to happen with scoring for that to happen, because yeah. I am also picking Ghost Rider at number one. I, on the other hand, am picking The Vow at number two, and This Means War at number three. Ooh. Safe House at number four, and Journey 2 at number five. Now, the reason I am not as confident with Safe House is, have you guys seen the daily totals on it?
No.
It is not doing as well in the daily totals as The Vow did. Granted, Tuesday's dailies are not something you really need. You really shouldn't count that. You shouldn't try to use that as a predictor, because it was Valentine's Day. So, of course, The Vow is going to be number one by double Safe House. I mean, that just kind of makes sense. If you're going to go to a movie on Valentine's Day, you're going to The Vow. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. But it's overall in its dailies, it's not... Safe House is not trending as well as The Vow is. And as much as I think This Means War could take some audience away from The Vow, I think they're different enough that... All right, so this is going to be another one of my terrible generalizations about gender. But when Holden and I on Friday night went to see Star Wars, we saw a lot of people going into The Vow. None of them were male. There were a lot of couples going into The Vow, women. Groups of two, three, four women going in together. There was very few couples, male-female couples, going in to see the movie. So, but I think This Means War might have a more male-female appeal. So I think they've got different audiences.
So what I'm hearing from you is that if you're a single man who's looking to meet some nice single ladies, maybe go see The Vow.
Go see The Vow. They'll either
hang around at The Vow. Get there early.
You will either get lucky or you will be assumed to be gay.
Then you'll just be the friend.
Yeah, and then you'll be their friend. But you'll be the friend that they change in front of. Which, that could be a win-win.
Could be.
You changed me. You turned me.
Nice. So that's
terrible. There's nothing nice about that.
Let's segue away from that just right now.
Yeah, or that's Becca, or a stalker. All right, so we've got a lot of people. No. We've got some people in the chat room. Is anybody bold enough to give their picks on Thursday? Because we are recording on Thursday. It's not like a Wednesday recording. Is anybody bold enough to give their picks?
Tallulah, are you going to publish your hand size? Because we're all interested.
Yeah, Becca's still not participating. We could bump up our male-female average even more.
We do have the feds breathing at our neck on that diversity initiative.
So. Hey, we're up to 25%, which, to be honest, when I started this thing, that's about 25% more than I ever thought would participate.
I remember the first time I asked you if Julie was going to participate, and you just laughed and laughed.
She did once.
1 week.
Yeah. She got like a 12, and she's like, no, I'm not doing this again. This is dumb.
Never again.
Oh, we have pics from Lena. And they are not dittoing anyone. She's not dittoing any host this week.
I'll just Gary see if BD dittos her as he is wont to do.
He's never going to get in first place if he does, though. So Lena's picks, number one, Ghost Rider. You should be so lucky. Ghost Rider at number one, Safe House at number two, This Means War at number three, number four, The Vow, and five, Journey to the Mysterious Island. Now I'm just waiting to see if if BD gives his picks. Becca has gone on record that she has no clue what goes on in theaters. Hey,
think that's entirely true.
You know what? After last week, can you really say that I do?
I think Becca has some idea what goes on in theaters.
And if you're really worried about it, go check Williams scores.
That's true. Ooh, we got picks from BD. BD is taking Ghost Rider 2 at number 1. He's taking This Means War at number 2. He's got Safe House at number 3. He's got The Vow at number 4 and Journey 2 at number 5. He seems to be valuing War, This Means War, quite a bit higher than we did.
I've got This Means War in third.
I think I've got it in fourth, don't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. We both have it in fourth. Yeah.
What were your picks again, Tony?
Mine were Ghost Rider at number 1, The Vow at number 2, This Means War at number 3, Safe House at number 4. Wait a minute. Is that what I did?
Well, I have it written down. Hang on. Would you like to hear it?
I know what I did. I did, I did Ghost Rider, Vow, This Means War, Safe House, and Journey 2. I have these all written down, but I forgot to put names over them for the hosts. So I forgot it there for a minute. Because it's easier for me to post the show notes if I've written it down during this point, because normally I don't pay attention when I'm editing to what everybody says. I just edit for what sounds good. You never go wrong with picking Andrew unless there's a Relativity film coming out.
That's true.
That Jim Brown guy is wise.
That guy knows what he's talking about. I'm just impressed that, you know, Hall of Famer Jim Brown's hanging out in our chat room.
No kidding.
That guy was a hell of a football player.
Yeah, it's funny how all the picks have Ghost Rider at number 1 and Journey 2 at number five. 2, 3, and 4. As the conversation is going in the chat room, 2, 3, and 4 is a toss-up, but everybody's pretty solid on 1 and 5.
Oh, and that's true. There is a Relativity film coming out next week.
All right. Anything else? Anybody got anything else?
I got nothing. Let's tie a bow on it.
Let's call this one done.